Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Is there anything I missed? We got it all together. I need a couple of people who can partner together in prayer and believe in miracles. Brother Richard and his family are going to go watch the Cowboys play, and you know how how hard it is for them to handle disappointment. I told them to go on the weekend. They were playing the girls' glee club because they stood a chance. But hey, I'd like to see them come back smiling because the Cowboys pulled one out. Hey, miracles can happen. And if you're strong in faith, then believe God for them to have a good time. I mean, drive all the way to Dallas to see a game, you ought to be able to see a winner. Oh, thank you, Father. Men of valor will be putting notes in your hand in just a moment. Some of you, thank you, praise team, will remember that because of your great memory, on September the 20th, we began a series entitled The Purpose of His Coming. And then on the 27th of September, we did part two, The Purpose of His Coming. And I told you that I would have a more extensive list for you of the reasons that he came, and this is the purpose of his coming. And tonight's notes are entitled, Why the Anointed Redeemer Came. And before we get into it, I want to ask you a question, because this is important before we ever get to the first scripture. Do you believe that when our Lord on the cross said it is finished, he meant what he said? Now, do you believe that God would spend thousands of years prophesying that his son was coming? The second prophecy in the Bible was of the coming of our Lord. The first prophecy in the Bible was Adam prophesying concerning marriage. That's why our government has no right to meddle with marriage, because it was invented by God, it was put in place by God, and it is a part of the church, and it predates the government. But the first prophecy, Adam said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Neither one of them had a natural father and mother. There were no mothers and fathers on the earth. He was prophesying right out of his spirit, because he was in relationship with God. I've had people ask me, why is there tongues and interpretation? Why is there prophecy? Why the flow? As if we didn't need that. Pastor, could we just get along the rest of our time just with the scriptures? We could. But you see, when God puts something in the earth, it's eternal. And God said that prophecy, tongues and interpretation, was a part of his church. And some people say, well, it was only a part to start the church. I don't know where that scripture is, but I haven't found it yet. God said he put these gifts in the church and they would remain until the coming of our Lord. Now, if he came and you didn't tell me about it, that's one thing. But when man was walking in perfect harmony with God, he could talk for God. Adam spoke prophetically without having a Bible, without having been trained. He spoke prophetically and the Holy Spirit recorded it for the truth that it was. And he spoke of something that didn't exist but was already a part of God's plan. When you reach that point of Acts says that when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll lead you and guide you in all truth and show you things to come. And when Acts 1:8 says, and you shall receive authority, power, ability, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that was when man was reinstated back to the place Adam fell from. Not just born again, but restored to relationship with God, so that man should walk in the authority and the empowerment that Adam did. And a part of that is the gifts of the Spirit. Being able to prophesy, being able to flow with the Holy Spirit. Now, is it for everyone? I would like to tell you that salvation is for everyone, but it's not. I'd like to tell you that being filled with the Holy Spirit is for everyone, but it's not. Why? Because God is a gentleman and he will not push people where they don't want to go. Unless they are violating a purpose bigger than them. There are times that God has a plan and a purpose set in place and people are violating that and they have to be moved or removed so that God's purpose can be fulfilled. The New Covenant lasts three times that God said he would go outside the course of human events and act himself. Outside of those, he has left man the ability to pursue as much of God as they want to. When you're at a ball game and there is a fan there, they stand out because they love their team and express it with more exuberance and more pizzazz than you do. What separates you? I'm not willing to be that wild about that team. People come to church and they're not that willing to be that wild and exuberant about that team. Sometimes a team needs a couple of wild fans to spur them on. But I fully believe that everything the Lord came to do, he did. Now that I'm prefacing this, because when you get into this list of things he came to do, you've got to look at each one of them and tell me we've got to check it off. That's done already. Amen. That's done already. Because if he came to do it, then it was set in play, maybe not brought to its fullness, but it was set in play before he went back. And so the list you have in your hands tonight, is it all complete? No, but it's been building for years. This list started in 08. It was updated in 12. We have been working on it this week and got it to a point where it's close. And if we get some more, we can add to it. But this series began because the Lord impressed upon me it was important, Brother Price, for his people to know why he came, because if they knew why he came, then they should know what's already theirs. If he came to do it, and he said it's finished, and he went home and sat down and had ceased from all his labors, then you can pretty much figure the list, his to-do list, you can check it all off. And whether it is totally wrapped up or in play, some things are still in play. So let's grab the list tonight. In the beginning, the second prophecy, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, God speaking to Lucifer, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. A redeemer anointed of God would be sent to crush the governments and rule of Satan, because it was not just Satan, it was his spawn, those who do his bidding. Psalms chapter 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Our anointed Redeemer was the Word walking, the Word talking, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, do we have a full manifestation of what the Word can do when encapsulated in human form? The Father sent His Word into the earth to heal mankind spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. The Father sent His Word to deliver mankind from all the destruction and curses due them for their wrong behavior. The Word took on flesh and became the anointed Redeemer. The Word was Him and flowed through Him. We are to become the Word so He can flow through us. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. Where is the shoulder? When people tell you Christians don't belong in politics, God said He sent His Son to ensure that Christians could function in politics, because He is the head and we are the body, and the shoulder is in the body. Government is to be carried by the believer. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Our anointed Redeemer came to overthrow the authority of the world system and to lay the foundation for Kingdom of God government in the earth and to assume His place as its head. And you shall bring forth a son. Again, God is prophesying through His angel to Mary. And you shall bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Yeshua, for He shall save His people from their sins. He came to redeem man from sin, its bondage, penalty, and fallout. He came to be God's Redeemer. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What is the difference in destroying the law and fulfilling the law? To destroy the law, you break it down. He didn't break it down because you don't break what God has established. But He came and fulfilled every element of the law so that the law was no longer applicable. He came to perfectly and fully keep every and all elements of the law. He did not come to set the law aside, but to perform all its requirements so fully as to triumph over it and thereby render it second to Himself. He is not only Lord of sin, sickness, disease, death, He's Lord of the law. That's why you never mix the two. You don't bring in his face what he's ruling over. That's why this mess that's going through the church today about returning to our Jewish roots is so much of the devil. Because it brings back the law. And it's nothing new. I was reading today, and if you're not careful, you can get messed up. You remember in Acts chapter 15, there were some Judaizers who came to the New Testament church and said, "You guys have all got to be circumcised, and you've got to keep the law of Moses, or you can't be part of the church." And it caused such a stink, Scott, that Paul and Barnabas went all the way to Jerusalem and met with the elders and said, "This ain't right." And Peter stood up and said, "No, it's not right. Y'all know God picked me to take the gospel to the Gentiles." It's in Acts 15. Peter said, "You know, it was by my mouth that God chose to carry the message of his salvation to the Gentiles." Then James stood up and said, "You know, guys, if God is saving people, filling them with the Holy Spirit, they're flowing in the things of God, then we should not make the Gentiles keep the Jewish law, because everything God is doing is separate from the law." So they wrote these letters and gave them to Paul and said, "Go back to the church, and we're going to send Silas and..." Who was it? Silas and Justus or Judas? "We're going to send them back with you, so you'll have it in writing, and you'll have witnesses from the council at Jerusalem to say to them, just stay away from blood, things strangled, fornication. You guys will be okay. Forget the circumcision. Forget the law. Forget Jewish tradition. Just enjoy God." And Paul's very next trip, chapter 16, he meets Timothy. Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, and his father was a Greek. So he was half and half. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews. Now, I'm right in the middle of a missionary trip explaining to people that they don't need to be circumcised. I wondered for a long time why Timothy got the church at Philippi, a 4,000-member church, and I think Paul had a guilty conscience. We're on the You've Been Set Free missions trip, going from church to church to tell you that you're free from the law, you're free from circumcision, you're free from Jewish tradition. Oh, and by the way, I just circumcised this guy so he could go with me to tell you how free you are. Pastor Jim, what are you saying? You got to watch religion. Because when the Lord showed me that today, he said, "Here he is on the freedom tour, bringing a man under law, just so people won't talk." So tomorrow, everybody line up. Number six, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to set aside the useless religious system that never brought about change. He did not come for the deceived who felt they had no need for a total life direction change, but for those who recognized they did need a complete life reversal and were incapable of producing the change. You can't get righteous, self-righteous people born again until they turn loose of their self-righteousness. Number seven, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword, for I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And it doesn't say anything about the son-in-law against his mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Tell me a verse of Scripture that more accurately touches on this. I'll give you a hint. The word is a two-edged sword dividing. What does it divide? Soul and spirit, bone and marrow. What does the marrow speak of? Blood, DNA, the family line. So a lot of people stumble over this verse. And they look at it and they go, looks like he came to break up families. No, no, no. Truth breaks up families. And he said it's going to happen. Understand it. Some people don't want what you've got. Some of those people will be blood kin. But realize it's the word that's dividing. God didn't come to start an argument. He came to set a standard by which you measure everything. And so you, by adhering to the standard, automatically reject what is not of that standard, even if it's blood kin. He came to so manifest the clear-cut, ever-present, all-powerful way of God that it made readily apparent who was and who was not one with the truth of God the Father. His message of truth would separate and divide those who were of the lie and those who were of the truth. The Scripture gets very easy when you quit trying to complicate it. For the Son of Man cometh to save that which was lost. He came to redeem not just those who were lost, but to fulfill God's larger plan to redeem all creation, that which was lost. 1 John 2:2, and he is the anointing sacrifice that takes away the defilement of our sins. And his atonement is not just for our sins, but for the sins upon all the cosmos. He came to redeem everyone and everything that was tainted or defiled in Adam's failure to remain one with the Word of God. Can you check it off your list? It's done. We can activate it and walk in it. Number nine, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to serve the will, plan, and purpose of the Father. His coming was not to receive service of man, but to give service to kingdom purpose. He came to buy back, ransom, redeem many from the fall. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is what the Father sent me to do. The gospel is not Jerusalem specific. He came to deliver the message of the kingdom of God to the nations of Israel and to all the places where God would send him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. He came to give good news to the poor. Poverty is broken, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Amen. He came to heal the downtrodden. Brokenness is reversed, 2 Corinthians 2:14. To declare, proclaim freedom from bondages, freedom from all restraints, Isaiah 49:9. To proclaim sight to those blinded by the lie, 2 Corinthians 3:14. To release the broken victims to freedom, to announce the year of the Lord's favor. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He came to redeem life for and restore life to man. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? I touched on this a few months ago. This is a verse that idiots in pulpits have used, that he came to destroy the earth and just burn up all the sin and the evil in the earth. No. And especially when he said, I wish it was already started. Jesus came as a refiner to purge and to purify and desire that revival were, and he desired that that revival was already in manifestation. Not judgment and damnation on the earth, but the fire of revival that would purify and refine the body of Christ. For God sent it not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How the church developed the gift of suspicion and condemnation, I don't know. It's not the ministry Jesus came to do, and it's not your ministry either. Well, God's raised me up to point out the evil in the church. No, the devil raised you up. Go back to him. Jesus came to be the door through which the life of and relationship with God could be restored. I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. Jesus came as a man under authority, upholding not his name, reputation, title, but the Father's. And people rejected it. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He came to walk as a true son in the earth, to represent and manifest the will of the Father, so we could see how it's done. For judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. He came to restore spiritual sight to those who would see him, and reveal blindness to those who refused to see him as he is. He came to restore eternal judgment concerning the already's of God, not judgment of what people are doing wrong. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. When you read this verse, does it occur to you that abundant life means life that is more than enough mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally? Every rim of your life should be overflowing. Now, if he came to do this, then the work is done because he ceased from his labors, so this is available. So you can take this verse and go, Daddy God, I want to thank you that you came to bring me the abundant life mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, in every realm of my life. Because if he came to do it, then the work is already done. It's the receiving of the finished work that's up to us. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. He came to win the battle of will and submission, and to put the flesh down so the Spirit could triumph. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. He came as God's representative or ambassador to speak only in behalf of the Father's will, plan, and purpose. So should we. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He came to restore the Genesis 1:26-28 rule of man in the earth, so that man could once again be kings and priests unto God and perform God's truth in the earth. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ came to usher in the kingdom race of true sons of God, acting on behalf of the Father. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, a king's birth, a king's death. He was born a king, he died a king. This is a faithful saying and trustworthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came to redeem man from the authority, the bondage, and the penalty of sin. He, the truth, came to reverse the lie of captivity. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me to do thy will, O God. God wasn't satisfied by religion and his futile practices, so he sent Christ to return man to relationship with God the Father. God doesn't want religion. He wants relationship. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin at all. He came to earth to remove sin's authority to rule over man. When born-again man is in the anointed Redeemer, sin has no power over him. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to put an end to the power of and the authority of Satan in the life of man. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and has sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He came as an illustration and demonstration of God's covenant love towards his creation, and that he would die to atone for us and be raised up from the dead to justify us before the Father. Huh? They said it couldn't be done. They said nobody could do it. But we got through all the pages. When Michelle was typing this up, I said, how many pages is it? And she told me, what, six pages. I was like, well, we might get the first one in. But when you take the time to go down this list, while Brother Brian's preparing to come and give the dismissal prayer, I want you to take these notes home with you. It hurts my heart to go by and find the notes just laying on the seat that people didn't think enough of it. Now, you're looking at this. Do you know how long it takes to put this together for you so that you have this kind of understanding and information? You don't do this in 15 minutes on Thursday afternoon. There are years of understanding our Lord that went into these notes, because I want you to be equipped, and I want the devil to be disempowered from stealing from you. Because if he came to take away our sins, and he is seated because his work is finished, then sin's power to rule my life is gone. If he came to fulfill the law on my behalf, then I'll eat shellfish if I want to. Are you listening? Because the law no longer has any effect on me. I don't need to get me a yarmulke and squat in temple and... No. I'm free to worship God in spirit and in His Word. So I can come to the Father and say, Father, I thank You that the blood of Your Son, Yeshua, has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Sin has no place in my life. Sickness has no place in my life. Not because of my holiness, but because of His righteousness on my behalf. If you'll use these notes and meditate them, they will liberate you in areas of life you didn't even know you was having a problem.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank You, sir, for this night. We thank You for the word that has gone forth, Father. We thank You for our pastor. And as we leave here this night, Father, we are the sons of God. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We walk and operate in life, and that life more abundantly. As we leave here, Father, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Any tongue rising in judgment, we will show to be in the wrong. We are free in every arena, in every area of our lives, and we are free to do what You've called us to do in establishing Your kingdom in the earth. As we leave here, Father, Your blessing is upon us, Father. We receive, Father, Your protection, Father, in every arena, in every area. Every trick, every scheme of the devil is brought to naught in Your will, Your plan, Your purpose is done and fulfilled in our lives, Father. We are lights that shine in the darkness, Father. Wherever we go this week, Father, this year, Father, and beyond, we are lights that shine in the darkness, Father. And You use us, You flow through us to establish the kingdom on the earth and to bring hope and life and reveal revelation of Jesus to others, Father. We are used of You to preach the kingdom. We are used of You to demonstrate the life through Christ Jesus that You've given us, Father. We thank You and we exalt You as Lord, as Redeemer, as Savior. Thank You, sir. You are blessed. You may go.